Warren Olney back with today's Talking Point. In the past 2 years, the Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction, or SIGAR, has scored 42 convictions and saved $256 million. That's just the beginning. I'm joined in the studios of KCRW in Santa Monica by the SIGAR himself, who is John Sopko. He's had that job for a couple of years, and it's terrific to have you with our program.
Thank you very much for being here. Pleasure to be here.
The latest revelations have to do with the Bagram prison in Afghanistan. What can you tell us about that?
Well, it was about a $12 million project worked out by the our State Department to build a prison, and unfortunately, like we see in a lot of situations, it was poorly constructed, and now it's very difficult to redo the problem. I think one building has fallen down, two have collapsed. It's was built not to U.S. standards. Actually, it's so poorly built that you can take the bricks out and escape, which is not a good idea for building a prison. Problem is, it's beyond the pale. We can't get there, and even the State Department can't get there to ensure that it's going to be properly done.
You can't get there. Why not?
Because of a security situation. We are limited, and so does State Department and eight employees over there, on our ability to get out and see sites and see construction sites, because we need protection offered by the military or offered by the regional security officers. And as the troop drawdown begins, and it has been going on for some time, we call it the security bubble. We have to have the ability to go out within half an hour flight and come back to a hospital. So that's a rule applies to all American government employees.
So you got a $12 million prison, and it's built in such a way that the prisoners can pull the bricks up, the bricks out of the wall, which, as you say, is not a very good idea for a prison. How did it get that way, and who in fact is responsible?
Well, we have an ongoing investigation to find that out. There actually may be an individual or two involved in maybe criminality here. But the problem we see, and this is indicative of a bigger problem, is the difficulty of doing construction, the difficulty of planning for the construction, because this was built in the wrong place. It's built right over a seismic fault, and that's one of the problems. The second problem we see is there's not a lot of oversight done by the contracting officers or the contracting officer reps, as they're called. And if you don't do oversight in a country like Afghanistan on construction, you're bound to have some problems.
You say that there may be individuals who committed crimes. Are they Afghan individuals or American individuals?
Well, in this case, I can't really go too much further on that, but we have an ongoing criminal investigation beyond just the inspection. But we see both Afghans and American citizens involved in criminality, and we have, as you alluded to, indicted and convicted quite a few of them.
So this is a $12 million project. That sounds like peanuts by comparison to all of the rebuilding money that has been spent and will be spent in Afghanistan.
Well, we have spent over $103 billion, that's with a B, on reconstruction in Afghanistan. By the end of the year, that will be more than we spent on the Marshall Plan after World War II. So right now it's more than we spent on Germany, on France, or in England during the Marshall Plan. It's more than we spend on the next three countries combined, Egypt, Israel, and Pakistan.
Can you estimate what percentage of that might, in fact, have been lost to waste or to fraud or to the kind of problems that you just described in with the jail?
You know, I wish I could, but we really haven't been able to, and you'd have to devote a lot of time and effort to do that. We don't even know right now. By we, I mean the U.S. government doesn't even have a list, an accurate list of where they even spent the money in Afghanistan. So it's very difficult for us or the General Accounting Office or other IGs to find out where the loss is. I'm devoting my resources to finding out what's going forward and looking at what the problems are rather than looking at what happened. I can just tell you, we've wasted a lot of money. It's millions of dollars, but I can't say exactly how much or what percentage was wasted.
How much of it is due, do you think, to the culture of Afghanistan itself? How much of it is due to American contractors and even employees of the government who are taking advantage of that?
It's a combination of all of those. I can't blame the Afghans for it. I can't blame our contractors or our people working in the embassies. Everybody's trying hard. It's a very difficult place to work. You're doing contracting in a country where they're shooting at you. So that's extremely difficult for our aid workers, our State Department workers, as well as the people at the military. But what we found is there really needed to be more planning done beforehand, better planning and better execution, and definitely better oversight. Because if you think there were problems before, as we go into the drawdown, now with fewer troops there and less of an area in Afghanistan, probably less than 20%, it could even get down to 10% of the country that we can oversee, there's more likely to have more problems in the future.
How much money is liable to be spent in the future, and how many people do you have to try to keep track of it?
Well, that's the one thing to keep in mind is there's about $18 billion of authorized, appropriated, and not yet spent money still in the pipeline. We have promised via agreements at Tokyo and an agreement in Chicago to support the Afghanistan government for the decade of transition, so for 10 years to come. And if you look at the ability of the Afghan government to pay for all of the programs that have been established, there's a major gap. They can raise about $2 billion. They're going to need $6 to $8 billion a year for years to come. And what's really critical is any gains we have made, any fragile gains, are at risk if we really don't pay attention on how we spend that money going forward.
Was there a lack of oversight from the very beginning? Did the United States go into Afghanistan and just start throwing money around?
I believe that's one lesson learned, that's accurate. We spent too much money, too fast, in too poor a country with too little oversight. And that's why we have actually squandered a lot of money. And that's the lessons learned for the future from our experience in Afghanistan.
I understand when you took your job a couple of years ago that the agency that you oversee was somewhat demoralized, and you had a lot of morale building to do.
There were problems. We had almost a 60% attrition rate. We produced only about three products a quarter. We now have cut that attrition rate. And we are a temporary agency, so you're always going to have an attrition rate, and I can't blame people leaving for permanent jobs. But we're down to about 20%. The number of reports coming out every quarter has gone from three when I started 2 years ago, actually 2 years ago this month, to about 20 to 30 per quarter. We're getting better. I think we've turned it around. I've told my staff the only instructions I got from the White House were to fix it and fix it fast. And those are the instructions I've carried out, and I think we've done a pretty good job at that.
You talked earlier about the security bubble and how it's going to be more difficult in that respect as the drawdown goes on. Are your people at risk?
Oh, absolutely. But so are the aid and state and DOD people who are on the ground. We all have that risk.
How seriously does the Congress take this?
I think they are taking it seriously now. I get calls all the time. I think they're starting to look at how the money's being spent. A number of proposals and recommendations in our reports have been adopted by Congress, so I'm very happy to see that.
Do you get help from Afghans? Do they come and tell you when there is waste or abuse going on?
Oh, absolutely. And we have just gone online with Facebook pages and our hotline page in Dari and Pashtun. We're getting a lot of information. And actually, when I appear on shows like this or C-SPAN or TV or whatever, we get an uptick not only in the United States of contractors or troops coming back telling us about problems, but over in Afghanistan, because you're followed in Afghanistan and the press is followed there. And there is a real strong group of, to most extent, the younger generation who are very interested in seeing the reforms. And that's the group we want to reach out and touch.
What brings you to Los Angeles?
Well, I came out here to give a presentation at a conference on Reconstruction, and also to talk. I went down to Camp Pendleton and spoke to the Marines down there about how their approach to Reconstruction, because they are very much involved in that, and also came back from talking to some people up in Stanford on ideas on Reconstruction, how to do it better, as well as reached out to the Afghan community here.
Well, thank you so much for coming in and talking with us, and good luck with your job. I think everybody's on your side.
Very good. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
John Sopko, again, a special investigator, special inspector general for Afghanistan Reconstruction. It's great to have you on our program once
pleasure.
Again.